Hi, I'm Mike.
And I'm Ruth.
And we are here to tell you about
Martin Wood.
We're kind of looking at each other going, okay, who goes first? And no, this isn't the start of a train wreck. We don't do those things. But we believe God called us to a ministry of working with caregivers. Or go ahead.
Well, our vision is not only to help caregivers navigate through the oftentimes rough waters of being a caregiver, but also to bring some joy and fun back into their lives through social events, some resources, some training, just to really embrace the caregiver and the person that they're caring for on their journey.
And what we have found is that there are things that caregivers go through that first, like with the first videotape that we did, am I really a caregiver? Wow. Okay, for me, Ruth has been doing this for years and years, and she's been teaching and working with caregivers. I'm moving into that role, so this is kind of new for me. And so the first video or the first presentation that we did in this series was, am I really a caregiver? And now what we're going to do is, I'm a caregiver.
Now what? You know, sometimes, I mean, okay, I'm a caregiver. Now what do I do? And, you know, I've heard that from you, Mike, several times over the last year or 2 years as you've kind of moved into the role of caring for your parents. And, you know, it's like, as you would say, a slippery slope.
Yeah, it is, because sometimes it starts really easy. But one of the things that I did when I first started out was went really slow, and I set boundaries. And it's only because I've seen that. And I've seen people set boundaries right at the front. And I guess for me, boundaries, or should I say expectations?
Well, and that's what we're going to talk a little bit about. How do we help people recognize that, okay, I'm a caregiver, but this is long term. It's not like having the flu where I can set my schedule aside for a couple of days and then everything will go back to normal. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Just some of those things that maybe can help people as they're doing their whole caregiving role.
Sometimes caregiving, I've even come to believe that a parent-child relationship is caregiving. But a lot of times you know that's coming, you work into it, you understand. It's like Ruth said, it's short-lived. But there's other things. Caregiving is triggered by a major health event, maybe a stroke, heart attack, or accident. Yes. Maybe caregiving creeps up on you. And this is what we were talking about. It starts with the little things here and there. Then it's the extra visits, taking your parents or
whoever.
In my case, taking my dad to a doctor's appointment. And then you know it's going on, you see it going on, and we're not telling you it's not good. You're really helping whoever you're helping. It is a huge help for them that you're doing this. But we want to talk to you about, now that you're a caregiver, now what? If you've watched our first video, or if you haven't, go back and take a look at it. But if you realize you're a caregiver, or in my case, I'm moving into becoming a caregiver, that these are the things that
people need to pay attention to, you know, and how do they take care of themselves while they are in that role? Because oftentimes it does creep up, you know, and suddenly you find that your whole life is on hold and you don't know why.
And there isn't a school out there for caregivers.
That's for sure.
And if there was, chances are a caregiver wouldn't have time
to go to it. Good point. Well, and that's why we're doing these videos, is to try to help people as they do that, as they, you know, go through those months, years, however long it is.
And I like this. This is what you always tell me. Taking care of yourself is not selfish. It is
sensible.
Yep.
Because if you don't take care of yourself, what's going to happen to the person or people that you're caring for? If your health fails, and you know, statistically, 70% of all caregivers develop either a chronic illness of their own or or they die before the person that they're taking care of. So this is really serious, and people need to understand that if they don't take care of themselves, it could take its toll on them.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say is that there are ways to take care of yourself, and we're going to show people that. So if they take care of themselves, they're less likely to have some kind of an illness because of it feeling like your world is crashing in on you all the time.
Exactly that. So the stress and the anxiety, but also missing your own doctor appointments or putting things off because you just don't have time. You know, your life stops as you know it. And suddenly all of your energy, all of your effort, your spare moments, extra time are going to maybe a parent. It could be a spouse, but whoever that person is that you're suddenly are being full-time caregiver for, or at least balancing their life and yours.
And that's the tough part, is finding out what is that balance, what do I need to do, where do I go for that. But you do need to take on that balance, because mm-hmm. the other thing is this is a new role. This caring for another person is a new role that you'll have in your life. And it's what we also affectionately call it as the new normal.
Exactly.
Because that's what it is it becomes normal.
Yes. Well, and also if you are, you know, caring for your parents, the roles reverse. Suddenly you become the parent, and they're can be like little children, or the needs that they have. The same if it's a spouse, you know, maybe it was a husband and wife and he took care of all the bills. And well, actually a story, when this was my aunt that passed away, and it was my mother's brother. And I remember it because he called my mother on the phone. They're having a conversation and he said, "I suppose I'm going to have to go to the nursing home. I don't even know how to make coffee." So he was a man whose wife had always taken care of him and handled all of those household type responsibilities. And now when she suddenly passed away, he didn't even have a clue how to make coffee.
But you probably don't even think about those things.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Ho, ho, ho. Yeah, look at this.
Becoming overwhelmed as a caregiver, that's just about a given.
Yeah, and it will happen. And we've talked about it being a slippery slope. But what we start not realizing is there are a lot of things that happen emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally.
And oftentimes people don't even realize it. You know, it comes on gradually, and then suddenly they find themselves either with some sort of a illness, maybe physically they've injured their back, maybe mentally they're depressed.
Yeah.
You know, just all of it.
But what we are doing, and what we are doing at Martinwood,
yes,
is that we want you to know that
You are not alone.
Okay? And that's why we're reaching out, and that's why we're reaching out with these videos. You're not the only one that's doing this, but it's nice to know that there's other people that are, and to have the tools or the weapons to fight this kind of thing when it happens.
Exactly. And so hopefully that's what we can help you with a little bit. And, you know, as you reach that point, it's important. One of the things that's going to help you is to get a good understanding of what your loved one's health condition is. If knowledge is power, and, you know, It'll help you to understand what's going on yeah. with your loved one. It'll also help you to answer questions, understand what the doctor is talking about when he's, you know, giving a diagnosis or whatever. And it's just, you know, puts your mind at ease and helps relieve stress when you know what's going on.
And also know what specific skills you might need to care for someone with this diagnosis. This has been done before. There's a lot of information on what it takes to care for someone in the condition that your loved one is in. And when you look at those specific skills, you can decide what you can and can't do. And if there's skills that you can't do, that you may know someone who does have those skills who can come in and help, even if it's for a little while.
Exactly. And you begin to understand what resources you need and what you don't know. You know what?
Okay. And there's one thing that you've always said, I've heard you say it more than once, is people ask to help and you can bless them by letting them help, but you need to carry around.
Yeah, your list. What I always like to say is make a list. You know, people will come up to you and they'll say, "How you doing, Mike? How's your folks? Hey, if there's anything I can do to help, let me know. Just give me a call. I'm off every other week."
And so the caregiver hasn't slept for like 18 hours. They have been, you know, totally busy all day. And you as a caregiver go, "I don't know.
We're fine. Everything's fine." The F word, fine.
Ooh, yeah.
But, you know, so if you just sit down, take an extra cup of coffee and a quiet time and make a list of things that someone could do.
Mow the lawn.
Go grocery shopping.
Trim around the yard, maybe.
Cook me a meal. So whatever you think of that would be helpful for you, put it on that list. And then make copies of it. If someone says, "Gosh, Mike, you know, please let me know if there's anything I could do to help."
Yep. And you just whip out your list and they say, "You know what? I'm going to be about 3 blocks from you and I'm going to have my lawnmower this Saturday. Do you mind if I come over and cut your yard?" Heck no.
But if you don't ask, the answer is always no.
Yep.
And if people continue to ask if they can help you and you always tell them no, they're going to stop asking. And, you know, sometimes we have to realize, like Mike had said a few minutes ago, it's robbing someone of their blessing. If they want to help you and be a part of what's going on and you refuse to let them do that, then that's like refusing their gift.
And getting back to the list, I totally agree with that. Getting back to the list, make the list when you're sitting there looking at something that needs to be done. You know, maybe you're looking at your deck and you say, "You know, the leaves need to be blown off the deck, but I don't have time." Write it on your list. And just as they happen, that's my biggest thing, is I need to put it on a list.
Exactly, because then you're not caught off guard. When somebody asks, "What can I do to help?" You're not like, "Oh, I can't think of a thing." Where you can, if you have that list. Now, if you ask me to come over and pull weeds, I would run so fast, get on a plane and go far, far away, because that would not be a way I would want to help you. But if you ask me to go shopping or take your mom or dad to the doctor, you bet I am right on that. And if that's on your list, I can see that and I can pick. I can say, "Hey, you know what? I'm off on Thursdays. I can take your dad to the doctor. That's not a problem."
That is a great way to take care of yourself, is to have a list for other people. But taking care of yourself, it's the key to being able to take care of somebody else. You tell me this all the time.
Mm-hmm. And some of the ways that we can do that is eating right. You know, if we have good nutrition, fruits, vegetables, you know, all the things that we need to eat to the healthy food, or are we living off of potato chips and ice cream? You know, and oftentimes that's what happens. We're just too tired to fix ourselves a meal, or it's easier to run through McDonald's and grab a hamburger and french fries than it is to go home and make a salad.
Or you'll throw a couple hot dogs in the water and put them on a piece of bread and away you go because you can carry it around the house with you.
Well, and my big thing is peanut butter. I mean, that's what I eat a lot, you know, if I'm like doing the... I guess peanut butter is not all that bad because it's protein, but it's just a point. Instead of fixing something, I'll grab a spoonful of peanut butter.
Exercise that may not be... It may be really hard to find time to exercise, but it's one of those must-do kind of things. And it's the best cure for depression. It reduces stress. And what I like most about exercise is it increases your energy. You know, there's going to be times you're going to feel tired. And I know if I get up and I go even for a 10-minute walk and you just come back energized, a 7-minute walk, time yourself. That's not even a mile.
Gets your blood flowing, your heart rate up. And yeah. And, you know, for exercise, kind of like what you just said, a walk. Exercise doesn't have to be go down to the gym and work out for an hour. I mean, although that's great, and if you have time to do that or you can fit it in, that's super. But just walking. And my daughter-in-law does a great thing. She has this rule in her house. If she's talking on the phone, she has to be walking. So she walks all over the house, up and down the basement stairs, and all the time she's talking on the phone. And, you know, that's just a way that she can get a little bit of exercise.
Well, and the other thing that you harp on all the time is getting enough sleep.
These people are going to think all I do is harp on things. What are you saying?
You remind me that I need to get sleep, because what they found with sleep is it sets everything back to zero. It sets the day that you just had back to zero when you get a good night's sleep. When you don't get a good night's sleep because you're stressed, you're depressed, you don't get a good night's sleep, what happens is that carries over from one day to the next. When it carries over from one day to the next, now you're dealing with 2 days worth of issues. That is one of the reasons sleep is so important. So how many hours do they figure a night you should get?
7 to 8 is really they say. Sometimes it's hard to get. Maybe you can, if you can't get in that much sleep, take a nap in the afternoon.
You know? Don't go there. She looked at me because that's what I like to do. I have a certain time that I nap.
Uh-huh.
And what happens is you have to find time for that, because it is so easy to burn the candle at both ends,
mm-hmm.
and then burn it in the middle, and... You need to take time for yourself.
You bet. And just remembering that if we don't take time for ourselves, then, you know, who's going to take care of our loved one if our health fails? You know, and what are some of those? Managing your calendar, blocking out time for yourself. You know, even if it's only an hour or 2 hours that you're going to go walk around the park or sit by the lake, go get an ice cream cone. But blocking out some time for yourself. And, you know, music is another thing. Just listening to music can be so soothing and calming and have, you know, such a good effect on our body.
And family.
Mm-hmm.
Family is great also. I know sometimes it may be tiring to take on the added responsibility, but, you know, family is a great... They understand you. You can be yourself. And the thing about being around family is you don't have to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to be perfect. And we want you to remember that your feelings are messages. Your body tells you things through our feelings, through our emotions. So if you find yourself crying more often or crying at, you know, Kleenex commercials, you might want to take a look at that.
Yeah. And depression, what they found is depression is the most common emotion of long-term caregivers. But what I can see, one of the things that bring on depression, I believe stress will probably bring on depression. But the other thing is having unrealistic expectations. And what I mean by that, and tie that back to what we were talking about with the new normals, things have changed. Your loved one, you may not be able to leave your loved one in the grocery store by themselves, or you may not be able to carry on the same type of conversation that you had. And maybe they can't do the same things that they could. It is also terribly frustrating for them. So sometimes it's best if you just set and then accept realistic expectations. What can and can't they do? Rather than thinking, oh, I wished it was the way it was before, because it's not. You've got a new normal now. And setting and accepting realistic expectations is not just for the person you're with. They're for yourself too. You have to set your personal expectations and accept them. It's okay. It's okay to not be in it, not be an A-plus person.
You bet. You bet. And the other thing is learning to say no.
Really? Can you really say no?
Well,
when they look you in the face and they say, oh, please.
Please be in charge of the bake sale again this year for the 20th year. And you have to say no. But looking, and maybe you love the bake sale and it's something you would want to be in charge of. But we all have to look at our calendars, whether we're caregivers or not, and say, what can I do? What can I do? What is realistic for me? How do I say no? Or excuse me, what are some things I can say no to?
Exactly. But you also have to ask for and accept help from others, which goes back to the list.
You bet.
And making a list for people and then being able to accept help from them, because people want to help. They want to be there for you.
Yep. And we need to give them that opportunity so that they can. Another thing that's so important is that we keep things in perspective. If your loved one, you know, maybe says some unkind things, try to remember, this is the disease. This isn't my dad, my husband. This is the disease that's making this person act that way.
Well, and we've even been exposed to several families where the families kind of turned against the people with the disease, and it's really easy for the caregiver to take that personally, that people are turning against you. And that is a toughie.
You bet. And a lot of times what happens, it's just that because as a couple, using friends for example, because as a couple, it's you can no longer do those things that you once did with your friends, well, that your friends are still going to do them. And pretty soon they move away and you're sitting there going, wow, what happened?
Yep. And there are also things that will happen, certain actions that people take that will trigger something in you. Just as much as maybe some soothing music will trigger you to be more mellow, so could something someone says trigger an emotion in you that's not so acceptable. It's not that you can stop those triggers from happening. What you need to do is you need to identify those triggers and know that when somebody says something, don't take it personally and realize that it is a trigger in you. before you say something that you don't want to
say.
Well,
and I can give you an example of that from my own personal life. My husband, when he was alive, used to always say, you need to stop and get gas. You need to go to the store, whatever it was. And I would just bristle. And it wasn't until years later, actually the program I teach, Powerful Tools for Caregivers, and in the communication part of that, when I realized, for me, you need to was a trigger. I felt like I was being called incompetent, like I was a little kid and my parents were telling me what I needed to do. It just, for some reason, was a trigger in me. But once I realized that, then when he would say that, I would just kind of chuckle to myself, because to him, he was just trying to remind me of something that I needed to do or had said I was going to do. But to me, it was like, don't tell me what to do.
Right, right. And this is not easy, guys. You need to take care of yourself. And I'm realizing, like I said, I'm realizing things that are, that are happening. And that's why we're here. One of the things that we want you to remember is that
you are not alone.
This is Ruth and I. We're at Martin Wood International. And what we are here for is hope for tomorrow, at least hope for one more day.
Exactly. And sometimes, when a person gives up hope, when any of us give up hope, then that's when the depression and those kind of things, we lose our faith because we're not believing anymore. All we can see is all of the darkness and the bad things that are surrounding us.
There is our phone numbers are there, if we're bold enough to put them there for you. If you need to call, martinwoodinternational.com. Our most active site right now is Facebook. And if you go to facebook.com/martinwoodinternational, like our page, there will be information on the rest of the videos in a series. And we're still trying to figure out how to put everything out the door. So, just kind of hold on, because it gets better.
It does.
So, I'm Mike.
And I'm Ruth.
And we were here to tell you about Martinwood. And have a great day.
Bye. You know what I thought of?